You know, last week, Thursday, as I was praying for Natalie, it was for her to go and to lay her hands on the sick. And so I did not expect less when she came back. God's word will always work when we do the things that he asks us to do obediently. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, Tony's testimony, when I was growing up, my room was overseeing another compound behind. And in the middle of the night, the security men will go around and they'll be eating their, what do you call that thing? The pangolu. So everybody would say the security men are alert and they were active. So this very night, around 1 or 2 a.m., and I was hearing the regular sound. Apparently, the thieves had apprehended the security men. So they took over the symbol and everything. As well as they were robbing the compound behind us, they kept, so nobody knew anything was going on. Except that I heard more sound from that house, you know, and I was like, so I could look out and I saw people moving and all that. Hallelujah. The things that God makes us saves us from, we can't fathom on them. There's enough evil going around every second. But here we are, we are standing. Hallelujah. We don't need security reports. Some people need security reports, but we don't need security reports. Hallelujah. Because we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. We're going to be looking at success tips or success criteria. And we don't have any other person to learn from but Christ himself. He's our standard. He works in us. And that's all we need to look at for us to be able to say, this is what we need to follow. You know, oftentimes we look at people and we decide that, I want to be like this person. I want to be like anybody. I don't want to be like anybody. I don't want to be as tall as Collins. I don't want to be. I want to be this height. I can see farther than Collins. Hallelujah. I don't want to be anybody. This is who God has made me to be, and he has called me to walk after his own statutes. Amen. Hallelujah. And if he, Christ, was 100% man and 100% God, then everything we need to learn about a man or how a man should live his life, we will learn at it. Amen. I'm not saying, don't look at people and say, okay, this person did this. But the truth of the matter is that you cannot get more anything 100% except it's in Christ. Amen. Okay. So, in John chapter 8, verse 29. Please, you help me display because I have... John 8:29. I like reading from the Bible so that I won't forget it. Some people have the Bible in their head. I don't have a problem with that. So one day, you know, when we used to cram, or someone's speaking with you, and he expects that you get everything, and you're not writing anything down. I was sitting with a teacher one day, and he said, you know what? There's a reason why God gave whoever designed the Bible and the paper that knowledge. If he wanted you to put everything in your head, then he wouldn't have bothered creating that. So make use of your Bible and make use of your paper. Hallelujah. And so it's not a crime to read. Amen. And when you read, it will always come to you. It says in John chapter 8, verse 29, it says, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." Hallelujah. Now, the red letter words of Christ in my own Bible. Amen. The words of Christ. He says that he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Amen. He says the Father has not left me alone. He's so certain about it. And he's so certain about the fact that he does what pleases the Father. Amen. And he says that, and because he does what pleases the Father, he says the Father has not left him alone. So he's going to succeed. I look at things, I look at everyone that has had an encounter with God in the Bible, and I see that everyone came from practically nothing. And to say from abase to abound, I said that's what they say. And so there's no way you walk with him, and there's no way you do the things that please him, that number one, you remain the same. Number two, you will not record success, no matter how you define the success. It is important that there's always a milestone or a yardstick to measure these things. But when you walk with him, it cannot be the same story from day one to the end. Hallelujah. What happens most of the time is that we fail to take cognizance of the things that he's doing. And we look at things that we think he should be doing. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't buy, you know, there are different brands of vehicles, okay? So you can't buy the kind of vehicle I have and expect it to behave like a Bentley or a Mercedes-Benz or a Jaguar, okay? Hallelujah. Your expectation shouldn't be more than that kind of thing that you have put your money into. Amen. So if I cannot, so sometimes I laugh when I see some people on the road and they're racing. No matter your skill, okay, that machine that you're inside goes a long way to determine how you accelerate and where you get the kind of speed you get to. No matter the skill you have, some people say, ah, skill. No, 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 it's not about skill. The machine also matters, okay? So if you think that you're supposed to be here and what you have been designed to is supposed to take you this way, it's not going to do beyond that. And there's always a timing with God. Hallelujah. A timing that we, if we are not conscious of him, we will miss. Because we always have our own lust in quotes and our own desires that we want to play out. Amen. Hallelujah. So when I was growing up, when I finished serving, I really wanted to buy a car and I couldn't afford it. So the first person I went to said, I want to sell this car for 60,000 naira. 60,000 naira. I said, okay, so can I pay instrumentally? He said, no, 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 no. I need my money now. I said, fine. And I went to the next person. The next person says, no, I'm not ready to sell. I'm not ready to sell to anybody that's not going to pay in full. And the two of them were very close to me. So I was just like, ah, why can't you people just say, it's me one, I'll give you this car. It will, interesting. But they didn't. And I smiled and I left. And for about 2003 to 2006, 3 years. I didn't get a car. I couldn't get a car. But I knew the kind of car I wanted. And then when I wanted to get married, in the midst of looking for money to pay, and all that, my wife to be then came and said, there's this car for sale. I said, ah, women are just amazing. There is no limit to how they can stretch their faith. Amen. Yeah, I am. I'm still stretching my faith to buy. Amen. So she said, this car is available. I looked at her. And I was not going to deflate all the excitement. And I said, don't worry, we will get it. So I left it at that. And then I sat down and I calculated everything I was going to pay for this upcoming marriage. And this was November. Marriage was coming up. The ceremony was coming up in January. And then they said this car was 400,000. I was exactly the kind of car I wanted. It was 400,000. So I had to add 400,000 to whatever I was looking for. And of course, you know these things. They say it's time limit. It's somebody who says he wants to sell, blah, blah. So I left it. And then we continued life. And then we got married. There was no car. And then 2 months after, the money came. And the same car that she mentioned in November, We went and the said, it's still available. And we bought it. And I rode that car, my oh my. It's DN312GGE. I can't forget that plate number. Anytime I sleep, I remember, I say, ah, this car. You know? But the beauty of it was what I desired. Okay? And I look at the time I'd been designing to buy a car. Those two other vehicles I wanted to get were not the ones I wanted to drive. Hallelujah. But because it was just the in thing for you to have a car, I wanted to buy it. And thank God that those two people refused. I felt bad when they refused, but I just smiled. And you know, one of the things I was made up my mind is that if I ever was in that their position, then I would do what I expected them to have done. And so, yes, down the line, when opportunities came and I looked in my compound and there were like 1, 2, 3, 4 cars to my name, and I, is there a problem? How come there are 4 cars to your name? You know, I looked at myself and said, is there a problem? There was this one, there was a Civic. I said, no, if we look at people from the outside, I said, this man has 10 cars. Everybody said, this man has a problem. So I looked and I said, how can you be keeping 4? Okay, so one of my sisters came and said, blah, 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 I want to buy a car, I don't have money, blah, blah, blah. I said, take it. Take and pay wherever you want to pay. And then she will send, up to now, she didn't even finish paying. Hallelujah. Amen. But, you know, so for me, it was about this, I wanted to get this. The time was not right. But it didn't mean that God was not in the picture. Amen. It looked like the disappointment. Now, the time that I thought it was not time was actually when God says, this is time. Okay? Because, you know, there's no way when God makes a provision, when he gives you a vision, he doesn't make a provision for it. There's no time. It doesn't happen. So he has given me, he gave me someone that does not go in public transport. Okay? It's not a sin, no. He gave me someone that doesn't go in public transport. And God looked at it and said, the person I'm giving you does not go in public transport. So there's no way that this person will come into your house and you say, take money for public transport. Funny. So we got married in January. Then in March was when we got the car. And you know the funny thing? From January, February, I was alone in Lagos. It was when she came in March that the car came. That's how God is. So me, I was doing my 50 naira from Yaba to Ojota. Then in the evening, I go Yaba again, Ojota back to Yaba, 50 naira. And then these days when I'm driving, everybody's saying, how come you know all these routes? I said, I've taken public transport. So how did you know this? I said, when we used to take public transport, when there's traffic on the main road, then they will take these exits, and then you begin to look and look and look and look and look. But that's the way God is. So he makes a vision, gives you a vision, and then he makes a provision. You give yourself a vision, and you decide that this is what he should provide. No. Hallelujah. You need to align it with him. Christ said that the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Amen. So if he wasn't doing the things that please him, he wouldn't have said he's not alone. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, I'm telling you those stories so that you can relate with what I'm saying. So when you look at success criteria, don't define success based on your own times. Define it based on God's times. Hallelujah. Amen. He says in Philippians 2, verses 8 to 9. He says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Hallelujah. Amen. One of the criteria for success is obedience. Amen. Obedience to God's word. Hallelujah. Obedience to God's instruction and obedience to the things that he will have you do. Amen. So Setman says that delayed obedience is disobedience. And you need to be very, very deliberate about it. He says that he being found in appearance as a man, So even in his appearance as a man, which is why I said he was 100% man, hallelujah, 100% God. And if you want to learn, learn from him. He went through the same pains that we are going through, hallelujah. And that's why he could relate with the things that we are going through. And he will tell you that these things, I mean, he will relate with it. So when he's speaking, it's not that he's just saying it. He grew up as a boy. And as everybody will look at him and say, is he not the carpenter's son? When he's speaking, oh God, hallelujah. So you need to be obedient, okay? So he says that as a man, so he says that being found, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Okay, of the cross. Okay. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Amen. The result or the reward of that obedience of his is that he gave him a name above every name. Is that he gave him us. Hallelujah. Amen. So he can look and be like, this is the result of my obedience. We are the result of his obedience. Hallelujah. And so if you want to be successful in life, okay, after you've done all the meditation, and then, you know, Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on one, and then you will have good success, okay? When you are meditating, you will see one or two of these points, and you'll be able to work with them. Because you can't meditate on God's words and not find a place for obedience. Hallelujah. You can't meditate on his word and not find a place for anointing. Amen. You cannot meditate on his word and not find a place for doing the things that please him. And the first thing is what Mr. said is in Hebrews 11. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith in God is very important. Amen. And when you have faith in him, it should be easy for you to obey him. Amen. I'm carefully choosing my word. It's not, it will be easy. It should be easy when you have faith in him. It should be easy. So I see in this age and time, you know, when you are into sports, okay, and you have a favorite sportsman, there's nothing that guy can do that is wrong. He's not in your eyes. He cannot be. And if he sleeps, you will sleep, say, that's the way you're supposed to do it. Because you have faith in him. Okay? And if you look at all around, football fans, everybody, the day that man came and said he's a West Ham fan, everybody was laughing. Hallelujah. But you see, when I sit down and watch every single football match that they show, any kind of match that they show on TV, you will find out there are fans in the stand. Some people identify and believe in that team. So there is nothing. And then, you know, it's just for brand sake. So if one team is playing another team, for instance, let me say Muiwa FC is playing Sajiri FC. Okay. And Muiwa FC is in top flight. Sajiri FC is in the lower flight, like third division. And Muiwa FC is in the first flight. If Muiwa FC defeats Sajiri FC, will you be crying? You won't. You just take it as norm. It's first flight, there is third flight. So sometimes I see people that their poles apart, and then the fans of the third flight are crying. Why? Because they have faith in those people. It's the same thing. Hallelujah. If you have faith in anything, you believe so much in it that everything that thing does gets to you. There's passion. If you have faith in God, it says it's impossible not to please him. It's impossible. So you should please him because you have faith in him. And once you have faith in him, it's a foundation. Obedience comes naturally. Hallelujah. Even then, when the chips are down, when, you know, they say it's down and out, when it looks like the person you have so much faith in is down and out, some people say, no, he's going to get up. And they stay there. And they wait till he gets up. And they fire him with the same energy. Hallelujah. When you are working with God, that's how it's supposed to be. Because obedience is natural, it will be your natural state of mind. Because you're not going to be questioning him. When he says to you to do anything, you are not going to come up with, okay, what are we supposed to do? Hallelujah. Are you sure it's God that is talking? You know, it's just interesting. Amen. Galatians chapter 4. Christ was very obedient to instructions of the Father. He came first and foremost in obedience to God. And God needed someone to redeem man, and he sent Christ. Galatians 4, verse 4. Are you displaying it? So he says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Amen. You send forth that person that will do your will. Amen. So you will send forth the person you know that is going to do your will. The person that you know that is obedient, that's what you send forth. So he said, when the time, he said, be born that was born of a woman. I think I've explained to you before what being born of a woman is. It's not that it's a woman that carried you in your belly that is being born of a woman. I think I explained it to you before. Right? Are you forgotten? Okay, so the people that are born naturally are the ones that are born of a woman. Not those that are assisted with CS and all that. So when you say someone is born of a woman, it's a natural birth. Okay, so just like Christ, I was born of a woman. Okay, so all of you that caused your mother to be caught, sorry about that. You know, some people, when some children are coming, they'll come like this. They'll come like wrap around their mother. So, amen, they don't want to leave their mother alone. But he's saying that, obviously, he was 100% man. So even in his human form, with all the distractions around, it did not take him off course. Amen. He did not say, ah, okay, so as a carpenter's son, go and play football, or he's running around the neighborhood. As a carpenter's son, everybody was shocked when he opened his mouth. And you know what that tells me? That the kind of profession you do, there's an expectation to what is in your head. Hallelujah. That's the way the life is. Life is very difficult. So when he was speaking wise words to them, he said, ah, is this not Joseph's son, the carpenter? Meaning that this kind of words be coming forth from a carpenter's son. So if it was, let's assume Mr. Sajede is actually a prof, okay, and Kevin is speaking, and she's speaking. Maybe she's speaking the way she's speaking now. So is Professor Sajede's son, a daughter, is expected. Okay, but that's not really world things. The way the world did not expect that wisdom. And 1 Corinthians tells us that Christ is the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. So be careful. Sometimes we dress carelessly, we speak carelessly, we do things carelessly, all in the name of fad and fashion and that. But the world is watching, and the world will expect from you based on your appearance, based on the things that you are there to. And that's why when you are known to be a Christian, the world expects a lot from you. Forget all the other criticisms. When you just do something wrong in the midst of people that know that you're a Christian, they say, but I thought you go to church. That's the first thing they say. I think, I'm not supposed to be a Christian. When you are preaching to them and telling them, come the way of God, they won't listen. Do one thing that does not conform to Christ-likeness. Then you are going to know that they actually know that you are raising holy hands every Sunday. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing. Amen. But that's to tell you that a lot is expected from you. And so Christ was born and very obedient. And then so God needed someone, and then he sent him to redeem, because God had an expectation. God had an expectation. And God had the expectation that he will carry out all his instructions and all his will. Hallelujah. And he did not disappoint God. Amen. Even when the chiefs were down and it looked like the weight was too much for him to carry, to bear, he went back to God. Because the discussion was between the two of them in the first place. Hallelujah. I don't know how many of them sat down, okay, but the tripartite being, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, discussion was between them. And if there was going to be anything that would change, it has to be that they will sit down together and change it. Amen. But if that sitting down together to change it does not occur, it means that status quo remains. And what he was told was to go die so that we can redeem mankind. Hallelujah. You know, he had opportunity. He had opportunity when they took him to the hilltop. He had opportunity. They wanted to push him. He walked past them. And everybody was wondering, what's this? But he just went as if there was nobody there. He had that. He could have done the same thing when they came to pick him. But he said, this is time. It was time. He had gone to pray. He had conversation. And he said he was praying and he looked like he was sweating like blood. Okay? So it was conversation. If you will change anything that God has told you to do, go back to him that told you and then begin to converse again. And if you have not sweated blood, don't leave. Hallelujah. Amen. You be Christ-like. If you have not sweated to the point you are sweating blood, then that means you have not hit the bullseye. Okay? And even when he hit the bullseye, the instructions and the purpose still did not change. Hallelujah. Instructions and purpose did not change. So I was saying that they expected. So I said that Jesus was the wisdom of God. Okay. Luke chapter 2. Let's look at verse 14. Okay, so Galatians was spoke about the fact that he was born of a woman. It says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Hallelujah. He grew, he was filled with, he was strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Hallelujah. Amen. He was a child. He was not a man. Hallelujah. And that's how he grew. He became strong in spirit and filled with wisdom. And the grace of God came to cap it up. That grace abounds and it has appeared to all men. Amen. But you and I need to strive so that we are filled, we are strong in spirit, and then we are filled with wisdom. Hallelujah. Amen. For him, it was difficult. His wisdom filling wisdom. Okay? Because 1 Corinthians, see, Tony is laughing. It's true now. Abby, it was, we can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, and says Jesus was the wisdom of God. And here is the wisdom of God that has to grow and be filled with wisdom because he was man. So it is easy for me to tell you now that you need to be filled with wisdom. I have to be strong in spirit. Why? Because the boy Jesus went that way. Hallelujah. I think it's in verse 52 of Luke chapter 2. That means Luke chapter 2. Let's see verse 52. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't forget, we're looking at success criteria. He increased in wisdom and stature, and as he was growing, he was being filled. Hallelujah. He was wisdom, was looking for wisdom. You know, there are certain things that you look at a child and say, wow, this child should be wiser than this. Hallelujah. But that's by human standards. Because when he was teaching and his parents left him behind in the synagogue, he was just a boy. And they kept looking for him. If it was a man like Collins, we won't care. Say, he has gone, he will find his way back home. Was a boy. And his mother was worried. And then she went back to look for him. Now he was teaching teachers of teachers. Why? because of wisdom that he was growing in. Hallelujah. See, the smallest of God's wisdom is very big to the human eye, especially to them that are lost. The smallest that you think, okay, this thing, let us assume that we can scale it, that this is the smallest of God's wisdom that you have been able to catch. When you are revealing that wisdom to men, they will marvel because you will bring light to them. Hallelujah. But all this was done in the place of obedience. Okay? It was done in the place of obedience. So you need wisdom to traverse the surface of this earth if you will be successful. Hallelujah. And if you do like for like, transpose for transpose, it's that we need Christ for you to be successful. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 says, Jesus is the wisdom of God. And if you go into the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs says a lot of things about wisdom. It says, get wisdom, you get understanding. It says, wisdom is profitable and quick to direct. Hallelujah. So, if you need direction, direction will take you to where you want to be. Amen. Not where you don't want to go. Hallelujah. Amen. So, wisdom will direct you aright, in the right way, and to the right thing. Amen. In Matthew, look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 54. Matthew 13. Are you there? Okay, it says, when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Let's go to the next verse. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Hallelujah. Amen. He says, it's not his mother's Mary. So people will look at you to your roots and use that to determine what they should expect from you. But you and I need to get them astonished. Okay, verse 54. You need to get them astonished. Okay? They should marvel at wisdom and the mighty works that God will do to us. Hallelujah. See that you want to have money, get married, everything. They are the peripheral. They are not the main thing. It's impacting life that is the most important thing. Winning souls for God, for Christ, is the most important thing. Every other thing will be added to you. Okay? So while he was growing, he was busy looking after his father's business. That's what was important to him. Not even his foster parents, Mary and Joseph, who stopped the time from doing that agreement that he had when he was coming. Hallelujah. Now, you don't have to be rebellious about it. You don't have to be rebellious. You don't be like me. Hallelujah. So when I became born again and they say, you have to go to fellowship, you know, you become rebellious. I know Christ now, Abby. So I disappeared from home for like 4 days. And nobody knew where I was. And I was in camp. Not this popular camp, but I was in a camp meeting. And they were expecting me at home for 4 days. I said, no, I'm becoming a Christian. I have to follow Christ. That's been rebellious. Hallelujah. If you want to go, then you go take permission to go. Hallelujah. And if you do it prayerfully, you will get it. Everybody has a story, okay? So not everybody, some people got persecuted. You are not allowed to go to church. It's not a problem. Keep doing what you ought to do. Going to the camp, it didn't mean that was, I don't know even how to say it, but it wasn't meant to be, supposed to be the ultimate. Hallelujah. Knowing him, God, is the ultimate. Thank God you have found him. But working with him and being obedient at every point. He expects us to obey our earthly parents. Some people now come and say, so if they should not go to church. He won't expect you to obey that you should not go to church. But he also does not expect you to be disrespectful. So you need wisdom, like the boy Jesus, to go about it. And if you do it prayerfully, they will let you be. Hallelujah. You know, so when I was growing up, My mom has this habit. If you tell my mom you want to get married, my mom is a medical scientist. She tell you, which blood group are you? Which blood group are you? So when they come to our office for test, and this one is this one, this one, this one, she will tell this guy, guy, if you marry this girl, it's going to be this, this. She will draw everything for them. That so the probability that you will get SS is 1/4 because you are AS and you are AA. So, no, you are AS, you are AS. So, I won't advise you, blah, blah, blah. So I looked at this. So I said, this my mom is very, it's very funny. So I said, God, when I'm going to marry, don't even let her think about it. Amen. Don't let her even think about it. Let her just forget that anything about genotype exists. I don't want to hear. Because if I decide I want to go that way, problem will start, you know. So I said, God, any question at all she wants to ask, years before I got married, though, not when I wanted to go, not when I decided I was going to get married, years before, any question at all that she's going to ask that will cause me problem, she will just forget it. She will, as long as this is your will, let her just forget it. So we will not have any discussion about it. So I'll be saying, yes, 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 yes. So when I was going to get married, and she wasn't asking me any question, ah, I said, God, I'm not making a mistake. she was just like, okay, so that's what you want. Yeah, I said, yes. Okay, so what are we doing next? I said, I'm like, she's not asking any questions. She would have said, please, I need to go and know their family. But when you say things in the place of prayer, it's wisdom. When you say things in the place of prayer, things will happen the way you want them to happen. Okay? So by the time, it was after I got married, and I think I had even given birth, that she now came and started asking all the questions she was supposed to ask. And I didn't give birth a month after I got married. I gave birth like 2 or 3 years after. They said, I was supposed to have even asked this guy. I said, thank you very much. Hallelujah. But that's how hilarious God can be. Amen. That's how hilarious he can be. If you want success, follow his way. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. Time is fast spent. Let me just do this last one. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Luke 23 and 34. He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. Okay? John 7. John chapter 7, verse 45. It says, then the Jews said among themselves, where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? Please give me verse 34. It says, you will seek me and not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. Then let's go to verse 35. Then the Jews said among themselves, where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersions among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? Next verse. What is this thing that he said? You will seek me and not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. Hallelujah. Amen. Christ was very aware, was very self-aware. Okay? He knew who he was and he believed in himself and his mission on earth. Okay? And he understood the timing for everything. So the time when he was supposed to be with everybody and teach everybody, he was making use of it. And he kept warning them and giving them pointers to the fact that, you know what, there will come a time, okay, you will look for me and you will not find me physically. Okay, I want to look for Uche. I'll go to Uche's house. Or Uche is asking me to come to his house. I'm not coming. I'm forming. He's saying one day, it will be the other way. You'll be like, you'll be looking and then you will not find me. He was very self-aware. And we have to be very aware of what we are doing. We have to be aware of our purpose and our mission in this life. If you are not aware of your purpose and mission, you will derail. Hallelujah. You will derail. You will be like a train. You've seen those things when the train gets off the rail. That's what happens. And that's how people's life actually is. When you are not aware of what you're supposed to be doing, there are certain things that you're not supposed to get involved in. So all those do not, and you look at them and say, what are they saying? That they have spiritual implications. Sexual immorality is very, very dangerous. Hallelujah. Amen. Whether you are married or you are not married, it will cause you a lot of setback if you get engaged in it. Hallelujah. You have to be aware. You know, you don't see kings everywhere and anyhow. I mean, you don't see, I don't know if it has changed, but you don't see kings eating in public. And so this is how the king is opening his mouth to eat. It's not going to happen because they are self-aware. They know this is their capacity. This is the capacity in which they are. And these are the things that you ought to be doing. Christ was very aware of himself. Hallelujah. And he knew his mission back to back. Look at what he told the Samaritan woman, John chapter 4, verse 34. He says that my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Hallelujah. That's self-awareness. So if I say, what's your will? What is your will? What is your own food? Hallelujah. Some people say it's a banana mala. Hallelujah. Amen. Because people have favorite food. Christ is saying, my food is to do his will. That should be your food. It's more filling than the rice and the bar that we always look after or look for. You are smiling. It's true. And the last thing is the anointing. That anointing is so special. Peter was scared of a girl. When they were taking Christ away, he was scared of a girl. You know, he denied. I said, no. It was a girl. But the same Peter, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon him. After he had received anointing, okay, stood in the midst of people. And 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ that same day. That's the power of the anointing. If you succeed, you need obedience. If you succeed, you need wisdom. If you succeed, you need to be self-aware. If you will succeed, you need to follow Christ the way he followed his Father. He says, I do the will of him that sent me. Let us rise on our feet.